Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
And welcome to the NXT preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by one of the Dudley Boys, Michael Hamflett from What Culture, to look ahead to tonight's episode of NXT. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review NXT, but also Raw, SmackDown, AEW, Dynamite, pay-per-views. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week, complete with a bigger quiz, of course, on Wrestle Culture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Hamper, Michael Sidgwick, enjoying a well-earned week off to look ahead to NXT tonight and a stacked show. Granted, we only know it's stacked because this has already been taped. Thankfully, we haven't read any spoilers, though, but lots to look forward to on tonight's NXT. And we should probably start not with the NXT Women's Championship or the NXT Men's Championship, but with a story that suddenly got a lot more interesting. Adam Cole, he is presumably going to respond to the brutal attack he suffered by Kyle O'Reilly at the end of last week's show off the back of his victory over Bronson Reed. But this has suddenly developed into a lot more of an intriguing story than we realised.
Yeah, so it's probably a good thing that this NXT was taped because it means that the audience won't be chanting the initials of another Florida-based organisation. Yeah, so Adam Cole, what we know about Adam Cole currently is that he's got a gentleman's agreement to work through to SummerSlam, I think, or SummerSlam weekend.
Yes.
Presumably this takeover against Kyle O'Reilly. And that we also know that Adam Cole is a proper gentleman, isn't he? So he's going to honour every inch of this deal. He's not, there is no sudden jump, no Lex Luger on Nitro coming the way with Adam Cole. He says, hopefully willing into existence, Adam Cole debuting on Dynamite this week. But, you know, like, theoretically, Adam Cole is here for the duration of the time he shook a hand on, and then who knows what after the fact. Now that that story is out there, as you say, it adds an added dimension to this Cole O'Reilly decider, which I guess is how it'll be pitched, even though, as Adam Cole pointed out, it's 1-0, job done. I don't know what he's on about, I didn't lose. This is the decider. It's the one we always predicted Kyle O'Reilly would win. But if we take away the Adam Cole to AEW element out of this story, I thought the execution of Kyle O'Reilly's attack last week was so poor that it bordered on baby-facing Cole. So if there is going to be a response tonight, if Cole is even good to go, if he's going to be in a neck brace, they need to graft their bollocks off to make sure that there is a clear heel and a clear babyface going to this takeover. Word is out, and NXT will be back live next week, and Takeover will be live a couple of weeks later. And if this really is Adam Cole's swan song or his farewell program, or even if we end up knowing nothing more than we do today, there will be a feeling in the air that this will be something of a farewell program for Cole. So sentiment is going to be high. Sentiment is going to be with him. There's going to be that feeling of how it used to be when wrestlers would go off to the main roster, where it's impossible to make them heels on the final night because everybody knows that this is the end. That's going to hang in the air. The challenge that NXT might have in the next 2 to 3 weeks is to make Kyle O'Reilly the 100% babyface from this story. Because if this is Adam Cole's goodbye, it's going to be an incredibly bittersweet one.
Absolutely, yeah. You sense that maybe this week or maybe in the coming weeks, there's going to be a either by one of the two men or by Regal, a this town ain't big enough for the both of us sort of stipulation effectively. Is there any chance, just whilst we're talking about the topic, is there any chance you think that, WWE convinces Adam Cole to stay? I know we've read reports that, you know, they've been offering him all sorts of deals and he's now started turning them down rather than, like you say, just signing a new contract to take him. He's just said, well, look, let's finish up what we got going on and I could maybe put Kyle over at TakeOver. But I mean, me and Andy talked about this. It's like, oh, all of his best friends and his missus are with another promotion. It's going to take a moving of heaven and earth to keep him in WWE from now on, it seems.
But he should absolutely force them into trying, shouldn't he? Adam Cole is a guy completely untainted by a move to the main roster that would have in any way dampened his aura, B, a humiliating loss of NXT in the Wednesday Night Wars, and C, the kind of mishandled split of the Undisputed Era. You watch Adam Cole come out every week and somehow he has been Teflon to all of that. He feels like the brand's biggest star still. He feels like a level above NXT to the point where, I don't know if this is exactly a fair comparison, but he suddenly, when last week all the fun was Danny Bryan and CM Punk at the same time, and then we start getting a bit excited about a third man, not in the way of an NWO, but what if they had one more? Adam Cole fits that profile, doesn't he? Three signings, like all of a sudden, seems like wrestling seems to like things in threes, and it seems like he's just slotted into that spot. So he's got to use that leverage. The last time I remember any discussions about Adam Cole's contract, it was that he wasn't being paid enough, quite frankly. Yeah. He was bundled in with those NXT deals that sounded embarrassing, considering that this is now a weekly television show and it demands rights fees, if it indeed does demand those fees. But theoretically, if it does, everybody should be on better wages than they are. I hope he's bending them over. Honestly, like, I hope he's taking anything he can out of the very, very best offer. From the outside, it looks like he's loved working with Triple H and Shawn Michaels, but can that compare to working with Britt Baker and the Young Bucks? I'm not quite sure. And what he's got to know is what there is left for him to do. What only makes this story all the more of a perfect wrestling storm is that as soon as somebody pitches the idea of Adam Cole and AEW to you immediately think, well, this is sort of ideal because he's wrapped up all of his business in NXT and he'll never have to even start any on Raw or SmackDown. The story is captivating and it's kind of made a grand payoff between Cole and O'Reilly the least interesting element. They've got a job on their hands to not make the angle more about Cole's departure than O'Reilly's ascension.
Exactly. Yeah. Get on with it so we can watch Adam Cole in AEW. And I also like the fact that when you said he hasn't got any main roster stuff. I was like, well, he did have a match on the main roster, but it was against Daniel Bryan. So, I mean, that's, he can still do that in the other company.
The one man that would have found Adam Cole too small was busy arguing with Saudi Arabian authorities for cash on tarmac. So he couldn't get in the way of Adam Cole having a great night. It's absolutely fascinating. Obviously, this week won't directly relate to it if everything's in the can, unless they've taped something after the fact to drop in. Maybe Cole by the pool again. We've seen him before.
Are we going to get a callback to one of my favourite ever angles, which was, of course, I think it was Michelle McCool and Layla, and they had that thing where it was the promo, and she went, next week, loser leaves the WWE. Like, it was cutting. I assumed they were going to just switch shows with one, and then they went, no, I'm off. Yeah. See you later. So it's going to be, next week, loser leaves, and he's going to say the words NXT, but it's just going to be Poochie. I'm sorry now, I have to go.
Oh man, I tell you what, if that was the case, I'd want to go with Adam Cole to his home planet because there must be some handsome people up there.
Oh,
planet full of Adam Coles, forget about it.
Oh my God, yeah, you just know that Ricky Starks is somewhere on that planet as well, isn't it?
Absolute
peace planet. Right, let's also talk about the NXT champion, the undefeated NXT champion, of course, lost last night to Keith Lee on Monday Night Raw. He's going to address Samoa Joe, which makes a lot of sense because that's building to one of the biggest matches in recent TakeOver memory.
Yeah, it's a good job this match was already booked last week. Otherwise, we'd have the third program in a row where a heel champion says no to a challenge, wouldn't we? this one is already locked and loaded for TakeOver. What else is there left to say? Karrion Kross is going to come out on this NXT, probably, and suggest that Samoa Joe is washed up or that he has got ideas above his station, or he should have kept his office job or all that, you know, whatever, because Karrion Kross is the young, dominant, indestructible face of NXT, and Samoa Joe is the guy that represents the old guard, all that NXT used to be before the likes of Karrion Kross walked the earth, stalked the territory. And we're not going to buy a single thing about it because his record is 1-2 on Monday Night Raw. So it's like, Soz, get the belt off him at TakeOver. Get him off the show. It does not make sense. It's one of the few, I will say this, for all there are countless criticisms of the NXT to main roster transition and how wrestlers effectively have to start again, how they don't seem to want to exploit all the things that got these wrestlers over in NXT. And for all that's millions of complaints we've had over your Baileys, your Sasha's, your Sami Zayn's, etc. Karrion Kross needs the cleanest break. I can't remember a time when you knew somebody was getting called up and the last bit of the NXT spell was so bad. I recall, well, for example, Sami Zayn was as good as up in January and he worked Nakamura in March. Bayley appeared at Battleground and worked Asuka in August. Like, those are just two examples off the top of my head. Just because you knew they were gone, it didn't remotely betray what they were doing in NXT because there was still care and attention paid. This goose is cooked and that belt needs putting on Samoa Joe. Like, if they could, and if this wasn't all in the can, I'd honestly bring this forward to next week.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't even have this go to TakeOver. I'd have Joe beat him and then, like, knock out some surprise challenge for TakeOver or something, because he's a finished, Kross is a finished article on this show.
Yeah, he's what I like to call a reverse Kevin Owens, who went up to the main roster whilst the NXT champion and beat John Cena. Oh, and then you've got Karrion Kross getting cheated. To be fair, he did cheat Jeff Hardy, but and then just soundly beaten by Keith Lee. What are they doing? Honestly. Oh, dear. But yes, it's going to be that. And then, oh, maybe tonight. I presume it must be, actually, because me and Andy did the report. There must be a confrontation tonight. Spoilers, but not really spoilers, because we did a report about how they had to reshoot the bit because everyone was chanting Hardy. Oh,
yeah, I forgot about that story getting out. Yeah. Right. So, yeah, he's going to call out Joe for his theoretical failings and probably not take him seriously enough come the big match.
That's dead.
Just doesn't feel that big. Just doesn't feel that big, does it? Doesn't, like, it's dead. It's dead.
My poor best friend's going to have to say, oh, yeah, the fans there, he's saying he's hardly a challenger for him at TakeOver. That's what they're saying, right, guys? Hopefully tonight we also get a response from Raquel Gonzalez, because I really like the fact that we're getting Dakota Kai versus Raquel Gonzalez. But like you said, with other aspects of major feuds, they have to be careful with this, don't they? Because Raquel Gonzalez, it hasn't gone the way we expected for her since she won that title.
No, I really wasn't a fan of the turn last week. I genuinely think a lot of people wanted to like that so much more than they actually could, earnestly, because it's been something that has been handled with care. For the most part, the story has been very gradually developed, and it was quite elegant for WWE and NXT about the way that they were building it into the matches. And it was kind of there before she even won the title. And you were allowed to get excited and anticipate this. And then it was on a taped show, which is, I guess, maybe they couldn't have got out of it if they really wanted to do it for this TakeOver. But the timing of it was unfortunate. The delivery of it wasn't great. Raquel Gonzalez wasn't, and didn't in the segment, which is as important, but wasn't in the build-up to that, coming across like such a big babyface that you can do this turn. This is one of those occasions where I'm allowed to invoke Diesel. I know I do it on every podcast, but this is the one where I'm absolutely allowed, because that's the playbook. It's always been the playbook. Big mommy cool, blah, blah, blah. Homework for the listeners. Survivor Series 1994, where Sean and Diesel split, is an elimination match that I know I've talked to your like arse off about before, where Diesel eliminates the whole field. Shawn Michaels tags him, wants to tag, wants Diesel done all the dirty work. There's only Razor left. And then Razor ducks and Shawn kicks Diesel. And Diesel's been kicked three times, twice before at that point. And he's like, this is the last time. And he chases Shawn off to the back. The fans are going bananas for Diesel the entire match. He's the top heel captain on the other side, and they just cannot get enough of him. Raquel Gonzalez was nowhere near that. And they've already pulled the trigger on the turn. And not only that, not only was she nowhere near, but she was kind of jaw-jacking with the audience when Kai turned. She was like, you bow down to me, I'm the goddamn champ. And then she turns around, she gets a boot in the face. So had the fans wanted, they could have cheered Dakota Kai for that. There's some like nice lines in there. Did Dakota Kai say something like, as long as I've got your back, you'll always be champion?
As long as I'm by your side, I think it was something like that.
Yeah, like I admire the fundamentals because I've seen them for months. But I just think in terms of timing and execution, they're kind of wading through treacle a little bit. I want to have faith that this is the match that we all have been rooting for Raquel Gonzalez to have on the night. Dakota Kai's great, real carry artist, underrated for it in NXT as well. Not that I'm saying Raquel Gonzalez needs carrying, but I just think it's high time she had a match of the standard we were starting to see and feel on her ascent. And I hope Kai gives her it. Maybe they can heat this up. I don't know. It didn't land as well as I think we all hoped it would. And maybe, I don't know, they haven't said where TakeOver's going to be either. If you put that in a building, I think it's going to be all right on the night. Mm. But inside the CWC, I don't know.
Yeah, get it out of there ASAP for me. Let's talk about what could be a contender for match of the night without question. Roderick Strong versus Bobby Fish. I mean, you almost have to try hard to make this into a bad match, don't you?
Yeah, it's really weird this because you're right. There's no reason why this shouldn't absolutely bang. They don't need much longer than 12 to 15 minutes and it'll be just perfect. Roddy Strong, you would expect to go over because of Diamond Mine stuff. But they've been inconsistent with Diamond Mine and that's really weird. Mm. Not only did Diamond Mine lose the tag match, I think it was, that featured Kushida and Bobby Fish.
Yeah.
But before that, Rust, was it? Beat Bobby Fish in like 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of, neither of them are peaking. You've got Strong versus Fish, the first Cole O'Reilly Undisputed Era Civil War moment, and neither of them are particularly on the ascent. So I don't know. It's got to go to Roderick Strong, you would think.
Yeah.
But I think they've got to work to put the heat back in the angle. If Strong wins tonight, then I guess he gets Kushida. But did we ever imagine that Bobby Fish would just be a hurdle to the Cruiserweight title? I don't know. Again, it's another one, like same with Kai Gonzalez. I think this will work on the night, but I don't know why they've been given such an uphill battle.
I realise this is a real stretch here, but I'm dreaming here because we've got two things already on this show that are big thumbs up for me that we haven't even got to yet. Mm. Could I get a third? Please tell me there's possible. Just tell me there's a chance, okay? No spoilers or anything like that. Could they put Malcolm Bivens on commentary? Please.
Oh, that'd be amazing. That'd be fantastic. What a great idea. And I'm, you know, full disclosure, we're going like spoiler free into this.
Mm.
I cannot get enough of Bivens. And frankly, I haven't had enough of Bivens.
No.
And I sense that's a feeling around Diamond Mine as well. The whole excitement around that stable was that it was a fairly satisfying reveal of one of their Gabo teasers. and lots of people suddenly felt like they were in the roles they were meant to be in. And it's not quite lived up to that yet. Like you could really change that tonight.
And that is the sound of Triple H throwing his headphones across the room going, Bivens on commentary, Sean. Why didn't we think of that? Because it's already in it now. now we've got
what else has he taken from this podcast then? Give it Adam Cole a fair deal. Why didn't we think of that, Sean?
Oh God. That's very true.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. so they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Let's talk about one of the dream matches, a match that Michael Sidgwick has texted me, and I've definitely not made this up, to say this could be a match of the year contender, because it is the grizzled young veterans versus LA Knight. And Cary Grant made it to the moon. This was set up brilliantly last week, to be fair.
Yeah. I mean, this was for you, wasn't it? Let's be honest. They've given you what you want. They've listened to our diligent reporting of NXT, even in some of the darkest times, and they've given you what you want, and I'm all for it too. What I like about this, other than it's really pleasing my friend, is that the Grizzled Young Vets were off the grid a bit.
Yeah.
They were looking a little bit lost. This was such a lovely way to introduce them back into like NXT from an in-ring point of view. Knight and Grimes is a fascinating pairing as a team, because obviously we've seen Cameron Grimes sort of get the better of this Butler situation, and you would imagine within the context of the wrestling match, LA Knight would want to get the better of him as a way of revenge, basically. We've joked about how they could well do a match where it's like, if Knight wins, Grimes won't be his Butler anymore. That's the grand sort of irony of all of this. So I don't see the LA Knight, Cameron Grimes team being long for this world, and I feel like the Grizzly Young Vets desperately need a win. So I think it goes that way, but I would like to see development out of it, you know? I don't just want this to be a win for the Grizzled Young Vets. I want it to be a win followed by momentum. WWE love building momentum. Let's say that this is them getting one foot back on the ladder. They've got one eye on MSK because they believe it's unfinished business, all that sort of stuff. In the meantime, we're getting Knight and Grimes at the next takeover, in my opinion, and fair play to NXT for making the second match more anticipated than the first. I have to tip my Cameron Grimes-sized hat to them for that, because I had no interest in the ladder match. I didn't have a huge interest in the Butler stipulation, and I'm kind of willing to see them go one more time. And I'm assuming this tag match is all set to put those pieces in place.
Well, exactly. I think as much as I want, you know, Cameron Grimes to get the victory for his team, and then to like he's having this odd couple thing that I do actually think would work, as much as WWE goes that well with LA Knight and Cameron Grimes in the tag division. Like on paper, like you say, especially if you put it in an arena, granted, you sort of have to break the takeover structure, because generally, I'm right in thinking the majority of the times they have five matches on takeover, not including the kickoff show. But this could shape up to be genuinely one of the biggest and best, and such a great return to form for NXT takeovers of all time. SummerSlam weekend, hopefully off the back of, you know, Cena, Reigns, Goldberg, Lesnar, not again, Goldberg versus Lashley is what I meant to say there. Belair, Banks 2, et cetera, et cetera. You could have a takeover. You've already got Walter versus Ilya Dragunov 2. I mean, that's automatic five-star bait. Cole's final match potentially against Kyle O'Reilly. Samoa Joe back in the ring against Karrion Kross. A grudge match between Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez for the women's titles. You put on MSK versus Grizzled Young Vets 2 and Knight versus Grimes with some stipulation around the $1 million championship. NXT's back, isn't it?
It's not a bad card. It's not like this is what we, I think week to week, this show undulates to a wild degree quality wise. the shows that we are full of praise for, it seems like we're talking about a different brand to the ones that we criticize. Honestly, it's so bizarre. But yeah, often when you lay out a takeover card, it does show you that I go back and forth on NXT. I think it still is leaps and bounds better than the main roster. And
yes,
I include a SmackDown in that. Like leaps and bounds better, because when you put a takeover card together, what it shows you is that they've been telling you stories the last couple of months. You might not love the stories. Certainly not every chapter is perfect, but it's still a functioning pro wrestling brand compared to what we see on Mondays and Fridays. There's still, like, calling NXT the best of WWE is an indictment on WWE at present, but NXT probably isn't as bad as people say it is. I just think it's inessential. I think if you boil it down distill it to these cards that kind of arrive every sort of 2 or 3 weeks or a takeover lineup, you realize, oh yeah, they are still paying attention. They are still trying.
And they've got to spin a lot of plates as well. Like you say, they've got all these established stars that they're trying to mix and mash into storylines. And they've also got new stars they're bringing through. And that brings me to another round in the NXT breakout tournament. It's Trey Baxter, who you may remember had a very entertaining match against Kushida a while back for the Cruiserweight Championship when he did his open challenge, versus Joe Gacy, who WWE.com tells me won a qualifier on 205 Live that I haven't seen. If I'm but I will give him credit. I do enjoy these breakout tournament matches because there's already been some people, not just Vink, there's already been some people like an Odyssey Jones, for example, who I've seen get some recognition off the back of this, and they deserve credit for that.
Yeah. I'm going to recycle my take from last week's breakout tournament. Well, the one guy that I saw have a half-decent squash with Kushida is probably going to win. That has been the tell of, I think, three of these breakout matches, is that you've seen them work at either Cole or Kushida or somebody else and quite enjoy the matches, which was Trey Baxter, as you say, in this case. So I would assume him to go through, and then at that point you have the semi-final of the people that we've seen before.
Yeah.
And it might be a bit more unpredictable working out the breakout tournament from that point on, but these quarterfinals have felt... fairly one note in terms of the results. Quality wise, you just don't know, do you? That, I guess that's the point of a breakout tournament. If what hasn't happened in this tournament yet, and I kind of eagerly await it too, is that there's not been a case where one match has stolen an episode.
Mm.
And if anyone's going to break out of anything in NXT, it's of the good match territory, capital G, capital M. You can't break out of the brand because like nobody's allowed to leave anymore. And you can't break out into a title picture because they're very careful about who they put in these title matches, save for the odd Leon Ruff type interruption. So the only thing you can really do is break out in terms of a conversation, and you have a match that people want to talk about the next day. We've not had that yet, so maybe that'll be tonight. I don't know. I do think Trey Baxter will win because I just feel like you've got four wrestlers who we knew a little bit more about before the tournament started.
I love it sometimes. Like you say, I agree. I think Trey Baxter's going to win tonight. No offense to Joe Gacy. But sometimes giving a clue on the show itself as well, because they're like, here's this guy. Look, it's Michael Heflin. Oh, my God. Look at all this stuff. Hi, my name's Michael Heflin. I think I'm going to be the next NXT breakout tournament champion. Wow, what a guy. Let's look at his history. And they're like, and this guy's called Adam. Okay, they're going to be facing later on. It's all like it's a bit of a clue sometimes. But you're
exactly Joe Gacy. Joe Gacy is the one in the arm on a boat video that doesn't get picked instead of T-Pain.
If you're going to recycle stuff, I'm going to recycle what I said on the Raw preview yesterday and just replace MVP with the words Ikemenjiro. It is not a good night to be them because Rich Bloody Holland's on the warpath.
The NXT version of DMD is Rich Bloody Holland, and Ikemenjiro's going to get battered out of his own jacket. It's going to be great. I want... Like, I've warmed to Ikemenjiro very, very quickly. He wrestles in a coat. That's my cup of tea. I want him to get thrown around like he was the coat himself. Like, as Adam Nicholas always says, the empty tracksuit, this is the full suit jacket. I want him to get thrown around in it, and then I want Ridge Holland to put it on and then pull the arms clean through. I want him to, like, Hulk smash through the blazer, and I confirm a first win that he's very much back, and the kings of NXT are to be feared.
From being from a place near Ridge Bloody Holland in Derbyshire, all I'm hoping for tonight is sort of a merging of my family life growing up and now my experience as a wrestler. So he gets on the mic and he, instead of saying like, tonight Ikemenjiro, I'm going to beat your head in or whatever, and I'm going to do this for the grumpy bastards that I've aligned myself with, he goes, Ikemenjiro, tonight, take your coat off or you won't feel benefit. And then he's just going to cave his head in.
Brilliant. I don't know if that's niche or not, but I love it, so I don't care.
Yeah, exactly. Right, Hit Row, Legado del Fantasma. They've had their issues in recent weeks, of course. Legado cost Hit Row last week against Imperium. So tonight it's Shanti Adonis and Top Dollar versus Mendoza and Wild of Legado del Fantasma. But it's all really, I suppose, Hamlet, about Swerve and Escobar on the outside.
Yeah, can't express quite how much I despised that this feud was used to sacrifice Hit Row to Imperium last week. Despised it a great deal. But... there's end games here, isn't there? There's this hopefully decent standard tag match followed by the expected North American Championship match as Swerve and Escobar go again, but this time on the other side of the tracks for Swerve. I don't know. I assume a hit row victory, but only because of the rules of 50-50. They really didn't need that loss last week. Really, really didn't need it. I wouldn't say things are perfect, but things are still trending upwards for Hit Row as an act. The babyface turn has been cemented, which welcomes people to cheer it. The performances are still really, really strong and really, really committed. The in-ring's getting better. So I would hate to see them lose this, even if it's to build genuine belief that Escobar is going to beat Swerve, because I don't think any of us are really buying that, are we? It doesn't feel like Swerve's in any proper danger here in this title. Although, like, Escobar used to beat him all the time. The times have changed, and I don't think Swerve's in any danger, but I think Hit Row just can't really absorb another loss this soon. I was really, really disappointed that Imperium got the win last week, so I hope that's rectified this week, and it's just, I don't know, like, just let Hit Row win so that Swerve can say, "On, by the way, you won't beat me anymore, because when you used to beat me, it was because you had your mates that could cheat for you. Well, I figured that game out, and my mates are better than your mates." That's fairly straightforward, isn't it? You prove, the mates prove it in the tag match, and I'll prove it in the singles match.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And I hope that's the direction that they go in. Right. Oh, let's get to it then. I just Googled this as you were talking there, because I often sit here and say, if you'd have told me a year ago, blah, blah, blah. And I've just Googled it, and near enough, 30th of July, pretty much a year ago, do you know what Dexter Lumis was doing?
Oh, empty, the darkest timeline of NXT. Go on, and no, tell me. Was he nearly going to challenge Adam Cole?
He was flipping over the top rope to break his ankle.
Yes. Oh, on a taped high spot as well.
Yeah, he was in a triple threat match to qualify for the North American Championship ladder match.
Right.
He choked out Timothy Thatcher.
God. Oh, man, in the empty Full Sail.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. How did they lose the war? How did they lose the war?
This show. I'd ever eyes lose on that show as well. Oh, to Imperium. Good, good.
God damn it, man.
So anyway, that was a year ago, and now I'm sat here with you going, oh my God, they better bloody do what I want them to here, and that is have Dexter Lumis win a quote love her or leave her match against Johnny Gargano to have the opportunity to date Indy Hartwell. Now I know, I'll just get this out of the way, very problematic having, you know, Johnny Gargano be like the person saying, well, you have to get through me if you're going to get anywhere near her. She can make her own decisions. But Johnny Gargano is so good at this. He's made this work. And again, I'm just going to repeat it. I've never wanted Dexter Lumis to win a match more.
Johnny Gargano is as good at that as you are at this, because you phrased it as, you know, Dexter Lumis wants to win the opportunity to maybe date Indy Hartwell. They've not said that. She might as well be up the top of a ladder that they have to climb up. The way they've positioned it, let's be honest. Like, you've added some very important language to a stipulation that they can't be arsed with. But you're right, Gargano was just knocking it out of the park last week in that backstage segment. Indy Hartwell, their get out of jail was that Indy Hartwell booked the match herself. So the idea was she was putting herself up and that she's not Gargano's property and all that sort of stuff. So if it was tapping out Timothy Thatcher this year, it's got to be tapping out Johnny Gargano now, isn't it? Like, he's got to get it done. The payoff demands it. The payoff demands that Index come together at long last. I don't need a twist. I don't need Indy Hartwell arranging all of this just so she could screw with Dexter Lumis, because that's very dated Russo stuff. Bloody women. I don't want the low blow at the end. NXT has a golden opportunity here to do something nice. People gravitated towards Index. They've liked it from the beginning, and a beginning that included Dexter Lumis carrying her backstage when she was knocked out and then has not known where she was for 2 weeks. people have really, really gravitated towards this whole thing. And Gargano, I really like what's happening in the way. And I think it's substantially funnier if either Indy Hartwell wants to leave it all behind to follow like a new start with Dexter, or even better, Dexter has to become the awkward fifth man, because I quite like the stuff they do where, like, so 2 weeks ago, Austin Theory lost that match and he was like, yeah, I know what you mean, Johnny. I haven't slept for a week. And Johnny was like, well, you probably should have gone to sleep. And then last week he was just getting ignored because Johnny Gargano was so obsessed by all this. So he just left without anybody noticing. Gargano and LeRae's interactions are just priceless as always. I think you had Loomis, that mix. There's yet more potential for this to run in all the best ways. So don't ask me the details of the segment, because I don't know them, and that's their problem. But just do the nice thing. This isn't on a takeover, so you haven't, for whatever reason, you haven't deemed it worthy of the big super show. It's just a TV thing. It's just an angle people like. Give us what we want. In the words of the oft-quoted on this podcast, Alan Partridge, and there's necking. that bit of necking.
Yeah, like that moment with Otis and Mandy Rose was wonderful at WrestleMania. I remember that. Yeah, absolutely. Do you think Austin Theory plays into the finish here, perhaps, with his interactions with both parties?
He's not best pleased with Johnny Gargano, it would seem. No. So I'm not suggesting like a run-in-y type thing where he screws Johnny or anything like that. But miscommunication, absolutely. I mean, that's his character. He's thick as pig. So botched interference is sort of par for the course. So I don't think they're going to be on the nose. Austin Theory's sick of Johnny Gargano's leadership, but I think they could well. It feels teased, doesn't it? That there's going to be some dissension in the ranks. So yeah, very possibly.
So in conclusion here, the Lover or Leaver match, Dexter Lumis versus Johnny Gargano. What you're saying, Michael Hamflett, is the winner gets a fling.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I mean, you know, it's a more valuable prize than that plastic crown. So, yeah, guess I am.
Well, let us know your thoughts on the Lover or Leave match on all of NXT tonight. Intriguing show, like you say, despite the fact it's already in the can. It's going to be even more interesting to see what happens next week, let's just say. But let us know your thoughts at WhatCultureWWE on Twitter. Well, actually, there you can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at
Michael Hamflett.
Me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at What Culture WWE, and make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling wherever you get your podcasts from for daily wrestling podcasts. Already out right now, you can check out our review of Monday Night Raw, which was a lot of fun to record. And of course, if you subscribe, our review of NXT, which will be out tomorrow, is going to be in your feed as soon as it is released. But for now, this has been the NXT preview. My thanks to Michael Hamflett. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.